Hello, everyone. This is Benjamin Raven with MLive. I'm joined by fellow trending reporter Matt Durr. Say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
And we are here to talk about Joe Louis Arena and a look back at WWE's history at the arena, because they will hold the last Monday Night Raw at the Joe on March 13th, 313. That's right. That was on purpose. At the show on Monday night. So we're going to take a look back. There's been 13 Monday Night Raws at the Joe, not counting the upcoming show, 13 SmackDown, 7 pay-per-views, WCW held pay-per-views, and this is considered a historic wrestling arena, just like it is a hockey arena, too, and this for a lot of strong reasons.
Yeah, it's funny, as we were kind of going back through this and just kind of sharing our own personal histories, to think back of all the like major moments that have happened in WWE that took place in Joe Louis Arena. I didn't really think of it as one of those historical venues like Madison Square Garden or the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago, but man, the Joe really did kind of have its place with pro wrestling. It's kind of sad to think about.
Yeah, I know, it really is. Like, we were just talking before we started recording and just started listening. All the debuts, the first title wins, the retirement matches, the pay-per-views, the debuts, the injuries, the terrible shows. I mean, terrible shows hold as much weight as the great shows do in wrestling lore. And I mean, they've been doing it since 1991, the Survivor Series, where The Undertaker won his first championship against beloved Hulk Hogan and crushed the souls of children everywhere.
Right, and it's, between the two of us, it's the only pay-per-view that's ever been held at the Joe that one of us wasn't at. That's because I was 7 years old, yeah. And you were two or three at the time. Yeah. But I remember seeing that. My dad ordered the pay-per-view and taped it, gave it to me the next day to watch, and I was absolutely heartbroken. It's the first time Hogan really lost to someone that I didn't like, and it was heart-wrenching to see him lose, especially, you know, with Ric Flair getting involved and he just unable to overcome the odds like he always did. It was the first time that wrestling really kind of broke my heart.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember growing up with the VHS tapes, and at the end of the show, I'd be like, holy crap, that was in Detroit. That was at Joe Louis Arena, 8, 9 years old. And it just kind of made it feel more special. But, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg for special matches that have taken place at the Joe. I mean, they had an 8-year hiatus in the 90s from a pay-per-view. And the next show was the 1999 Survivor Series. And you were there for that one.
I was in the stands. I was in the upper bowl. You know, I remember this card, you know, obviously it's where Stone Cold Steve Austin got run over in the parking lot. We didn't know what happened. But to me, what always stands out is that's the night Kurt Angle made his WWE debut. And, I remember at one point he gets on the mic and starts, you know, yelling, "You don't boo an Olympic hero." And the entire arena, I remember it vividly, just turned on this guy. And right there, you kind of knew that they had something. They had a guy that was easy to hate, even though, you know, on paper, everyone should love him. The All-American, gold medalist, mm-hmm. represented our country. And in 30 seconds, he turned the entire building against him.
And he did it at the Joe. And that show, fun little fact, was the most highly attended show at the Joe, wrestling, 18,735.
I did not know that.
Yep. Oh, shoot. What was that other guy that debuted at Joe Louis Arena?
I just saw him on TV the other John Cena?
I think I've heard of him before.
Yeah, his first pay-per-view match in the company was at Vengeance in 2002. And coincidentally, I think didn't he wrestle Kurt Angle on that card? I'm pretty sure that's who it was. So it's fun to look back and think, like, at the time that guy was a nobody to us, and now he's the biggest thing they've had in the company in the last 15 years.
Movie star, superstar wrestler, hosting Kids' Choice Awards, reality shows, movies. John Cena's everywhere, and his first big-time match was at Joe Louis Arena.
It was against Chris Jericho.
That's right, it was against Chris Jericho.
It was Jericho. I apologize.
Yeah, that's all right. Oh, goodness. But yeah, those are just the pay-per-views. The Raws, I mean, the Monday Night Raws during the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars, 98, 99. And then they kind of, a Raw took a hiatus until 2000. It's just, there's been some legendary shows. Like,
Let me ask you, like, when you think back about the major weekly TV shows, what moment stands out to you the most?
Stone Cold Steve Austin driving the Red Wings Zamboni through the entrance at Monday Night Raw.
So we were both there for that, right?
Yes, yeah.
Where were you sitting? What was your reaction? What do you remember about it?
Upper deck, 10, 11 years old, losing my mind.
Right.
A Red Wings fan. And yeah. Just like, oh, Stone Cold, my favorite wrestler. He's driving the Red Wings Zamboni that I watched whip around the ice at right. the Red Wings game. It's just the one memory that has stuck in my head the longest through all the great matches and all the things. Stone Cold driving the Zamboni.
Yeah, I was in the lower bowl. We were in the corner, probably 4 or 5 rows up. And I remember going crazy. I remember the inflatable doll that had like the Undertaker or someone threw it in the ring and just being confused like how that got there. But if I don't know if you remember when he drives the Zamboni out into the ring, he almost takes down the Titantron. And then when they're dragging him out, you couldn't hear what was going on. No. And we found out later that he like ripped power cords out and like almost brought the show to an entire
There's hole. Like an urban legend that it almost shut down a power grid in Detroit. Right. He ran over so much stuff. But seriously, if you got, even for the non-wrestling fans, you should watch that video because the Zamboni, it clips the huge screen that they show their entrance videos and the video for the crowd of the show while it's going on. And this thing is not supposed to sway out that far.
No.
So, I mean, it's just a... I mean, whenever WWE runs their top 10 wildest wacky moments or top 10 Raw moments, this is almost always on the list. And that's just... And then another moment I remember is also involving Stone Cold and that guy named The Rock. Technically didn't take place at the Joe, but it was during a Monday Night Raw at Joe Louis Arena. What happened in that one?
The Rock threw Stone Cold Steve Austin's Smoking Skull Championship into the Detroit River, which I think it's been 2 or 3 championship belts now have been thrown into the Detroit River. So, you know, it must be something about our city where they just they think it's a great place to get rid of their championships.
There's something fun about tossing a shiny belt into the Detroit River, I guess.
So kind of going back to the Stone Cold thing, the cheers of the crowd, or the pop as they call it, when Austin ran that Zamboni into the ring was the loudest thing I'd ever been a part of until last year when there was an episode of Raw at the Joe when Shane McMahon made his unannounced return. I don't ever remember being at any sporting event or any sort of concert where I've seen a crowd get that excited for something so quick. You know, my buddy was standing next to me. He's 30 years old, and he was jumping up and down like a kid at Christmas. Because, you know, we hadn't seen Shane in, what, 6, 7 years?
And this was not rumored. This was not spoiled. This was, what?
We're like, where did this guy come from? This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I remember is after they kind of went to commercial and the show was off the air for a little bit, you know, he came out and he addressed the crowd and talked about how much it meant to him to hear, like, Detroit react to him making his return. And that was really cool to just kind of know that like we made an impact on this guy that's performed in front of millions of people in his life. And we made it special for him too.
I think it was, I'd been gone for so long and you guys made me feel like I never left and I'll never forget this crowd in Detroit. I mean, it was a special moment for him. It was a special moment for everyone in attendance. I remember that's when I was working at the Citizen Patriot. I made the trip over by myself. I said, screw it. I'm going to get a cheap upper deck seat. I'm walking to my seat. Shane McMahon's music hits. I just grab a random seat.
Right.
I sat down. The guy next to me is like, hey. I was like, just give me a couple minutes, man. Just like,
just give me a minute. I need to process this.
No, but it's just so... Just while we're talking here, Undertaker's first championship win, Kurt Angle, John Cena's pay-per-view debut, Shane McMahon's return, Stone Cold and the Zamboni. And the wrestling fans will recognize the Radicals, Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn, Eddie Guerrero, the late Eddie Guerrero. They made their first match in WWE, right?
Yeah, they debuted the night before on a Monday Night Raw, but their first in-ring competition was at Joe Louis Arena.
That's right.
And unfortunately, Eddie Guerrero got hurt in that match. And I wasn't there that night, but I understand the taping. They were taping the show. They had to shut it down for an extended period of time to take care of his injury. But those three greats. Their first night in the company in the ring was Joe Louis Arena.
Wild. It is wild just to like even say it out loud. It's like, wow. Oh, let's jump into a little more recent news. 2005, Survivor. Wow, they really liked doing Survivor Series at Joe Louis Arena.
Yeah, it's kind of been a staple for them to host that show here. 2005, like you mentioned, you know, The Undertaker made his return at the end of that show.
That's right.
The last really great Ric Flair match in the company. He and Triple H had that fantastic I Quit match. that night just kind of stood out to me as like, wow, this is what Ric Flair could still bring to the table if given the right opponent. And that night, he and Triple H had just a fantastic match.
This is 2005 Ric Flair we're talking about. Yeah. He still had it in Detroit. Pay-per-view hiatus for a couple of years, and then the Royal Rumble was back. Big shows. For those that don't know, the Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble are considered two of WWE's big four pay-per-view shows. So when they come with pay-per-views, it's usually been a big one. But you were there, 2009 Royal Rumble. That was Randy Orton.
Randy Orton wins the Royal Rumble. Yeah. That's where Matt Hardy turned on Jeff Hardy, broke up the...
Real-life brothers.
Yep, they separated on TV for the first time.
That's right.
And it's the only time the Royal Rumble's been in Michigan. So it was kind of special to... get there. That was one of those bucket list wrestling fan things to sit there and be in the crowd to count down and just experience that. And it was a great show. Mm-hmm. The Royal Rumble match itself was really good. Shawn Michaels was involved with a match with JBL.
That's right.
It was one of those nights where it was like, man, I finally got to be involved with the Royal Rumbles.
In the Royal Rumble, 30-man match. You eliminate opponents by throwing them over the top rope. A new opponent runs to the ring every 2 minutes, regardless if somebody had been eliminated or not.
Yep.
It's hectic. It's crazy. It's fun. I wasn't there. I'm jealous. But the last two pay-per-views at the Joe, I was there, and you weren't.
I wasn't.
This is so weird how that worked out. Every pay-per-view that I was not at, he was at. Everyone I was at, he was not at. 2010, Over the Limit. Probably the worst wrestling show I've ever been to in my life.
That's too bad.
It is too bad. And the attendance was 11,000.
Wow, and that's a venue that can hold, what, 18,000 for wrestling shows?
Yeah, 18,000 wrestling, 20,000 hockey. That's wild. That's when WWE was really going TV PG. There was CM Punk, who's no longer with the company, started bleeding during a match. They stopped it 3 or 4 separate times to towel him down so blood wouldn't be on TV for the chitlins. and Edge actually dislocated, or no, Randy Orton did something to his collarbone.
Right.
And like real life injury that ended the match out of nowhere. Like you can tell when stuff's not story. And the big match that night was Batista and John Cena. It was Batista's last match as a full-time performer. It was an I Quit match. John Cena did his finishing move to Batista, the attitude adjustment, off the top of a Ford Mustang, I believe, through the ramp. So that's fun. The show was, sorry, WD, that show was weak. But
but I think it is cool to think that, like, Batista, who now, like, people know him, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, mm-hmm. he's been in, he was in a James Bond movie. He's kind of made a name for himself outside of the company. But his last full-time match was here in Detroit.
And that was fun. And I had the best seats I've ever had for a big show for that show. And John Cena and Batista actually fought through my row. And knocked an adult beverage out of my hand. John Cena's foot did, and that was cool. I mean, that's awesome.
So you're saying John Cena owes you $8?
He owes me an $8 Miller Lite. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying. I think you need to call him up and you know, get your money back.
So if you want to see me look befuddled at John Cena, just go to the WWE Network. And I was a little plumper at the time in a Just Do It shirt, but you'll see me.
So 2013, you were there for Night of Champions. Tell me about that. I mean, I didn't go to the show because I wasn't expecting it to be very good. And then after I watched it, I kind of felt like I missed out on something special.
It was, all right, most of the show was hit or miss, but the main event was kind of fun because you knew something was up. Battle Creek's own Rob Van Dam had a title match. He did not win the championship. He won the match. But it was a solid show. The Shield had a nice match for the tag team championships on it. But the main event was Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan beats Randy Orton to win the WWE championship. But the crowd, I mean, this guy was so over. That means the fans absolutely loved Daniel Bryan. The crowd did not blow up for his win because you could tell something was off. Next night on Monday Night Raw, they overturned the decision as part of the storyline, saying the ref talked too quick, or counted too quick, excuse me. And it was a weird show. It was a fun, weird show. 10,500 attended that one, even lower.
That's right. And see, that's why, you know,
you were
clearly speaks that, like, there was something about it. It was like, I'm not excited to spend the kind of money to go down there. But
the second worst big show I've ever been to is Night of Champions. It was my last two pay-per-views at the Joe. They were less than stellar, but, you know, they still had their moments. The Daniel Bryan moment is a weird moment in history. Batista's last full-time match, you guys know him as Drax now in Guardians of the Galaxy, was at the Joe. So even when the show was lacking, unlike the previous 18 years, there was still a moment or two.
Right. So let me ask you, like, what do you think it is about the Detroit fans? It does feel like, whether there's 10,000 or 18,000, it feels like the crowd here is usually pretty amped up and pretty excited for the shows compared to a lot of crowds you see. Like, what do you think it is about us wrestling fans in the area that makes Joe Louis such a special?
It's something about the Midwest. Yeah. We get that. But Detroit, the crowds are, they're, I don't know, do you like come together when you're in that crowd? You know, everybody's trying to have a good time. They're not trying to steal the show, but you got fun chants going on. It's just, that's the beautiful thing about attending a wrestling show in person, is that you come together with complete strangers.
Yeah. What I noticed too is there's usually a good mix of kind of the older fans and the kids, but no one takes it too personally. Oh. Like, you can get the dueling chants and get both sides involved, but it adds to the atmosphere of the show. But it's still focused on the wrestling. It's not just about the crowd trying to make themselves look cool for TV, I guess.
Yeah. The Joe is special. It's a great WWE arena. It is going to be missed. Like I said earlier, the last Monday Night Raw taped from the Joe, March 13th, 313. That is this upcoming Monday. We're recording on Wednesday, March 8th, for those of you wondering. We're going to have a slideshow up on MLive sometime. This will be in that, but we're going to take a look back at these moments, break it down a little more in depth in text. But I'm going to be there. You coming?
I don't know. I'm a little upset. It's kind of like the 2013 we were just talking about. Like, I'm not really happy with the product, so I'm not sure I want to spend the money and go down there. But I'm kind of starting to feel like, you know, it's Joe Louis Arena's last stand with WWE. I should probably go down there.
I figured recording this would talk you into it.
I think that's worked.
Historic hockey arena, historic music arena, historic wrestling arena. They feel different from hockey to concerts to wrestling. The Joe, there's something about it. It takes on a different life, I feel like.
Like I've said, you know, I've been there for concerts. I've been there for, you know, dozens of hockey games. But there's something about that arena for pro wrestling. It just, it makes it feel special.
Yeah.
It's different than when they would do things at the Palace or some of the other venues on the west side of the state. It's just, there's something about that venue.
Yeah.
That I love it. And it's going to be sad to not see pro wrestling there again.
It is. It's kind of hitting me a little bit just because talking about all these moments. I grew up in the west side of the state, but I still drove my butt over to the Joe every time I saw a show worth going to.
Right.
And, you know, it was a part of my childhood. Joe Louis Arena, hockey, wrestling, concerts. It's crazy. It's going to be missed. Yeah. Seems like a good point to end when I start just saying yeah a couple times over and over again.
That's the cue to give me the go-home signal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. The Oscar music is playing. Once again, this has been MLive Trending Reporters Benjamin Raven and Matt Durr. Thank you for listening, and hopefully we'll see you there. 313, last go-round at the Joe.